All right. Today our lesson is Christianity 103, and it's the title of it is Meet Needs, and it's in Luke chapter 9. So that's it covers the whole chapter, but our verse, but we'll focus just on the lesson verses today. In verses 1 through 6 of chapter 9, Jesus gathers the disciples there and he sends them out on a mission trip. And I wrote on the board his instructions that he gave them before they left on their mission trip. The first thing he said to them in those verses was to give them power and authority. He gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. And the next thing, he wanted them to tell everybody about the kingdom of God, and he wanted them to heal the sick. And he told them not to take anything for their journey, no walking stick, no traveler's bag, no food, no money, no change of clothes. And one thing I read said that he did let them wear sandals. He didn't make them go barefooted. And then wherever they go, he told them to stay in the same place until you leave town. And then if the town refuses you, shake the dust off their feet and move on. And so those were the things that he told them. So let's go into our verses, which start right after that, and chapter 9, verses 10 through 12. It says, when the apostles returned, now they've been on this mission trip that Jesus has sent them out, and with all these instructions, and they've come back. And he says, when the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything they had done. Then he slipped quietly away with them toward the town of Bethsaida. But the crowds found out where he was going, and they followed him. He welcomed them and taught them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who were sick. So, as part of their training, Jesus had them do this mission without him, so that they wouldn't always rely on him. He gave them the power, and he wanted them to see that as long as they had faith, they could do it. And he gave them the instructions about what they could do. In verse 10, Luke uses the word apostles, and he's talking about the 12 disciples that Jesus chose and the 12 that he sent out. And the word apostle means sent out ones, people, ones who have been sent out. And that word has come to identify people who take up Jesus' mission and go out into the world to share it. They preached, they healed, and they cast out demons in Jesus' name while they were on this mission trip. So when they got back, Jesus took them off. And the reason that he took them off to a quiet place, and if you notice it says, how did it put it? They slipped quietly away, because everywhere Jesus went, guess who else wanted to go? The people. The crowds. And I mean, I believe I'd have probably been in that crowd too. I think we all would have. So he took them off to a quiet place because they needed a moment away from the crowds just to kind of refuel, kind of recap everything that they had done with Jesus and just have some quiet time with him. Does that sound familiar? I mean, they got to have quiet time with him. I mean, like physically, you know, but we need to get away sometimes from our everyday hustle and bustle, things that we do, and have that quiet time with Jesus. And sometimes you have to slip away to do it, you know, because especially if you got a really busy life and things going on, sometimes you just have to say, whoa, and then just slip away for a minute and or however long you've got and have that time. But the people found out where they were and they followed them. And guess what Jesus did, though? He welcomed them. He welcomed them. He did not turn them away. He told them about the kingdom of God, and he healed the sick. And what did he tell them to do in number two? He told them to tell everybody about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Some people would have become irritated because these people followed him, but Jesus didn't. And the thing that dominated Jesus' approach to his ministry was that he was consistent. He consistently welcomed. He never turned anybody away. And so that was the success of his ministry, was because he was so consistent. And these are things, if you're listening to me and you studied your lesson, these are I mean, he's talking to us too, to be consistent in your ministry about sharing the Word of God. He explained the need for God to be enthroned in human hearts. That's what he wants for us too. He wants God to be enthroned in our hearts. He was also consistent in healing the sick. He emphasized his divine authority, and he was compassionate to human need. So by healing, it showed people that he was the one. And it also showed compassion because he loved the people, he cared about them, he never turned them away, and he healed them. In verse 12, we are told the disciples insisted that Jesus send everybody away to go find their own food. So he tells them, late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him and said, "Send the crowds away to the nearby villages and farms so they can find food and lodging for the night. There is nothing to eat here in this remote place." And there, all these people had followed, and Jesus has been preaching all day, and it's time to eat. And there's no food. And they're not like in a town. There's not a McDonald's up the street or anything like that. So the point that we make in these verses is that these disciples were very sure of themselves, and they didn't ask Jesus to dismiss these people. They ordered him to dismiss them. They didn't suggest it. They ordered him. They never considered that he could take care of the food problem. Because it says in the Bible there was 5,000 men. But that doesn't include also the material I looked at. It doesn't include that there was more than likely women and children, but they counted the men. So it's more than 5,000 people. And they never considered. They said, send them away to go find food. They were probably tired because these guys are human too. You know, they've been dealing with this all day long. All they wanted to do was be by themselves with Jesus, and these people followed them. My lesson material, I never thought of this as ironic, but I never really thought about it this way, because, you know, you focus so much on the fact that he did the miracle, but we didn't focus on the disciples' point of view. They had just returned from a mission where they practiced what? All kinds of miracles. All kinds of miracles. The power that they were given, they could have fed the people if they'd have had the faith. Because they were casting out demons, they were healing, just like Jesus. They were telling people about God, and they were healing the sick. And that's what Jesus did. He told people about the kingdom of God, and he healed the sick. These same people. They just returned. They were doing practicing the powers that had been bestowed on them. And now they are oblivious to the idea that they could, besides the fact that Jesus could. Jesus, if he could do all this, coming up with food was just nothing to Jesus. But they did notice, got to give them credit for noticing that the people were hungry. And they did call that to Jesus' attention. So they didn't have any inkling that they could do it. But they did recognize the problem, and they did go tell Jesus. But they still didn't. But their solution was tell them to leave, because they knew if they told them to leave, they wouldn't leave. But if Jesus told them, go home, find you some food, they would have left. So let's look at the next verses, take action. And they're in verses 13 through 17. So they've come back. They slipped off. The crowds followed them. He taught them. It's late. It's supper time. He's told them, the disciples told them to send them away. And Jesus said, you feed them. You feed them. But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for the whole crowd? For there were about 5,000 men there. Jesus replied, tell them to sit down in groups of about 50 each. So the people all sat down. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and blessed it. Then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and the fish to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterward the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. So, Jesus turns the table on the apostles when they wanted to send them away. He tells them, you feed them. You do it. They had met the needs of the people on their mission trip. A supernatural solution never entered their minds about the food. It just left them. Jesus refused to dismiss the people so quickly, but the 12 apostles failed to get it. They didn't get it. They told him, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. That'd feed, what, one person maybe? I don't know. Maybe two, maybe a family. They only thought of logical solutions. Human thinking. There wasn't enough food, and they didn't have enough money to go somewhere and find food and bring it back. Human thinking. They were not thinking supernaturally. So how often do we try and figure out something that's logical like this and figure it out on our own without the help of Jesus' supernatural power? We do it every day. And I'm first in line. We do it every day. And just like Betty said in her prayer, when she turned her grandson's needs over to the Lord, look at the doors it opened and look what's happened now. Instead of banking on just what that doctor could do and what they could do by taking him, the Lord had to intervene and allow that little boy to be able to go to the doctor. And I mean, you just don't, unless you ask for it, he's not going to do it. And that's what happened to the disciples. Unless they ask, they just didn't get it. They just forgot. They were human.
And see, when I said my prayer and asked for a job, I said, if it's thy will,
that's right,
for me to get this.
That's right. That's right. Because he may have something else in mind. If you don't get it, that don't mean that there's nothing else out there. You got to think about that. So this situation to the 12 and probably to all of us, if we had 5 loaves of bread and 2 pieces of fish, say there's 75 people here today, what would we say?
We don't have enough.
We don't have enough. Annette would be running around in that kitchen trying to figure something out, wouldn't she? We don't have enough food. So Jesus thrived. He thrived on doing the impossible when it served the higher purpose of glorifying God. And that's what he did that day. He turned them and ended up having enough left over to feed the church, 12 baskets of food. And he did it because it gave glory to God. So how about us? Do you thrive on making something happen so you can give God the glory? When you know something, I mean, and you know it's God-given, do you say praise the Lord? Do you say praise the Lord? That's such a testimony. Such a testimony when something happens and you know it's God-given and you speak it. Jesus started by looking up to heaven when he got the food and seeking God's approval and gave thanks. That's how he started the miracle. And then he began handing out the food and handing it out and handing it out and handing it out. Every time they came back. And you see how organized he was? He got them into groups of 50. Got them set down, and so they could keep up with who they fed and who they hadn't. And I'm sure you could have went back for seconds. It would have been okay. So Jesus involved the disciples and helped them see their lack of faith that stopped them from being able to provide the food. They could have done it, and Jesus could have took a break. So how's your faith? Is it like the disciples that day? Or is it like Jesus?
Like disciples most of the time.
Yeah, me too. So after they ate, they had 12 baskets of leftovers. Did the crowd know where the food came from? Probably not. They just knew they were eating. We don't know if they knew or not. but they just knew that there was food. They definitely participated in the miracle because they got to eat it. The disciples definitely knew that Jesus had provided the miracle. Jesus used the miracle to boost the faith of the disciples. So think about this. Has the Lord ever shown you a miracle to boost your faith? Shown you something that you were doubting or you never had, just didn't even ever think about going to Him for, and He showed you that it could happen? I'm going to show you I can do this. To show you that not to give up. Let's look at our last verses. Trust God. Luke 9, 37 through 43. So they've come down from the mountain. The next day, after they had come down the mountain, a large crowd met Jesus. A man in the crowd called out to Him, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, my only child. An evil spirit keeps seizing him, making him scream. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It batters him and hardly ever leaves him alone. I begged your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they couldn't do it." Jesus said, "You faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you and put up with you?" Then He said to the man, "Bring your son here." As the boy came forward, the demon knocked him to the ground and threw him into a violent convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and healed the boy. Then He gave him back to his father. All gripped the people as they saw this majestic display of God's power. So, this is after Jesus' transfiguration on the mountain. He was on the mountain, and the three that were with Him, they saw Elijah and Moses with Him. This is after that. They come down from the mountain, and it's the next day after the feeding of the 5,000. So there's a man in the crowd, and he cries out, telling Jesus that his son was demon-possessed. So that tells you, run right there, that he has faith. His faith gave him the strength to ask Jesus for help. And he tells Jesus that he begged the disciples to heal his son, but they couldn't. And what did he give him? What did he give them? He gave them power and authority. And it says in the Bible, in verse, I believe it's 1. It is. Chapter 9, verse 1. One day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Not just some particular demons. Not any. They weren't choosy. They could do it just like he could do it. But they had to have the faith that they could. So this guy has begged the disciples and they couldn't do it. They couldn't make the demon leave. So their faith has faltered again. So they again demonstrated weak faith. And see, you got to remember, they're just human guys. They're not supernatural like Jesus. They've been given this power, but in order to have it, they've got to. Their faith has got to remain at the uppermost level. So they failed to use the authority that God had given them because of their faith. So he addressed a rebuke to the people and to the disciples. That where he says, "You faithless and corrupt people," the disciples are included in that because they did not have enough faith. They didn't get it. They missed a key principle. God bestows power and gives power on those who believe that he can deal with issues that seem impossible to humans. And they just did not get that. Now, we have that faith, and it falters, just like the disciples, because we're human. You know, when it's really, especially in a really, 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 really tough, unsuspecting situation that hits you out of the blue that you don't know any, you know, you had no idea was coming, then that's when our faith is at its most vulnerable. So we have to remember to remain faithful, believe that he's going to do it, and let him work the impossible. He can do the possible in the impossible. Because he was only with them for 3 years, and he's already, he says, how long must I be with you and put up with you? I mean, they only had him for 3 years. He would be gone. He wouldn't be able to pick them up when their unfaithfulness left them incompetent. He was frustrated, but he never lost his compassion. Frustration and compassion don't go together for me. I don't know about y'all, but when you get frustrated, being compassionate is not first on my list when I get frustrated about something. But he never lost his compassion in any situation. The healing power of God won out over the power of the demon. He again showed his strength and his power. He gave all the glory to God. The miracle brought attention to the majesty of a healing God. And he's going to intervene for us today because he loves us and he's alive. Just like we were from last week, we can never forget that this is living and breathing, and we learn because we are no different than the disciples. He wants to send us out, may just be out across the street, maybe not to heal a demon or to heal the sick, but offer prayer and support and communion and fellowship with people to show them who Jesus is. And we just have to remember that that we're going to lose it and not be as strong one day as the next, depending on what's going on in our situation. But we can overcome and just try to remain as faithful. Just every day when you get up, it's a brand new day, brand new start. Does anybody have any questions or concerns? Complaints, comments.